This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rock and roll, baby. It's a Friday. By the way, did you know today is Friday?
Is today Friday?
I know that I'm hard.
I like that. That's very good. Fridays are the best, right?
International Happy Hour Day.
Yeah. International Day of Love, maybe? I don't know. Is it?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Isn't that like Valentine's Day?
If you could do an international house of anything, what would it be?
Pot.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my first thought as well.
Yeah. The International House of Pot.
We call it IHOP.
IHOP.
Yeah, dude. Instead of like the, and then the smile that has it, except the O's would be like squinting. And there'd be a little tongue hanging out of the mouth like, sup, man? No, in all seriousness, International House of, you know what would be cool? Is like, you know how they have those places that have like 50 style of burgers?
Yeah, okay.
What if you did International House of Omelets?
Oh, I like that. Bunch of different omelets out there, right?
Normal meat. Yeah. And I know some places you go to, like the Big Biscuit or wherever you go, like those franchises, they've got like the Denver, the, you know, Montana omelet, right. You know, whatever.
Do you really need a, let me ask you this, do you really need a menu though for omelets? Because it's like about five different ingredients and that's all usually back there in the kitchen, right? I mean,
but if you have the International House of Omelet, you'd have like a chili cheese omelet.
But don't you have the chili cheese already back there if you're doing a chili cheese dog or something like that?
No, it's just omelets.
Oh, no, I'm saying any restaurant. Like you could walk into any restaurant and just look at their menu and say, okay, you guys have a chili cheeseburger. Can you throw some of that chili cheese into an omelet, right? Like they would be able to make that for you. If they have it on hand, you know?
It's like if you go hiking, you know, you have your friend make tuna sandwiches. No? I finally do a Seinfeld reference?
No, I get it. It's just, deep and like, I'm just picturing the, I can't remember his name now.
Do I get a pat on the back?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, puts the hat on back.
Yeah, Dan puts that, it was like,
what the hell? Making some sandwiches, like tuna fish?
Yeah, what the hell was his name?
I can't remember.
Dan Cortez. And I'm just picturing him hanging
wearing
on
the jogging jacket.
Yeah, but he's on like, he's trying to climb the rocks and they're hanging there and George is like, do you have the tuna fish sandwich? Was that episode on yesterday?
Might have been freshly been viewed.
That's fine. You go for it.
Side
man.
Note, like that it. Is actually not a bass guitar.
It's a keyboard.
Yeah. Ruined my childhood. I thought there was just some guy on set like Stings back there.
Yeah. The live band on the, you know, the sitcom like 1952 or something like that. Yeah, we got the live band today. The guys over there smoking a cigarette playing the bass guitar.
So last night was college football semifinal number one.
What
lived
a
up
way
to the hype.
Start, man.
Lived up to
right?
the hype.
Yeah.
Boring first half.
Boring
can
first
I be
half.
Honest?
Yeah.
Because I tweeted and was like, I don't think this game's going to make it to 8:30. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't press in.
Time.
Don't press in.
No, that's the thing. You can't judge these games. They never get good to the last 5 minutes, right? I mean, that's kind of weird. That's why we call it the witching hour, right?
That fourth quarter was disgusting.
Yeah, that was fun, man. But the back and forth, and then 75-year-old Carson Beck, congratulations, collecting AARP, getting that touchdown there at the end and running into the end zone, and you know, and then controversy abounds on the last play, and everybody's, you know, complaining about that. There's no controversy there.
What?
Because it should have been pass interference or whatever the case may be.
And I'll explain why it should have been. Okay. Those refs made that game about them for the final 5 minutes.
They did. They absolutely did.
There were, and I'm just telling you, Kirk Herbstreit called that out. And I think Kirk Herbstreit is a very fair broadcaster. I would not mute Kirk Herbstreit.
No, I like Kirk Herbstreit a lot.
I
like
him especially. Yes.
I like him and Fowler. And I know not a lot of people like Jeremy Fowler, but I think Fowler adds to Kirk Herbstreit what Kirk Herbstreit adds to the what you're watching. Like he kind of... Play-by-play color, right? Like, play-by-play, it's like, we'll take Mitch and Dana for an example. We know the role. Mitch goes until Dana knows it's his spot to be like, okay, the play happened, I'll explain what happened here. That's kind of how that works, real easy. It's almost the opposite but they have the same title,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Kirk Herbstreit basically is the guy.
Right.
And Fowler's just there to kind of tee him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that Kirk Herbstreit, when he said that, he goes, boy, these refs have really made it about themselves in this last few yep. minutes. And then that play, if you watch it, that play is what they had been calling all the way up to that point. And when they had, they showed it, he had his arm or his hand tucked into his, like, inside. But also the receiver was fighting a little bit too. So to me, in my opinion, in normal play of game, that's a great no call. But the way that they were calling that game in the fourth quarter, that 100% should have been called. And by the way, that wouldn't even have been the game because this isn't the NFL. It's right. not a spot
it's only
foul.
15-yard penalty.
It had gone from the 40 to the 25.
Yeah. So it should be in the NFL as well. You think so?
100%. I think there should be two different ones in the NFL. I think they should treat pass interference like they treat red cards and yellow cards in soccer. Yellow card, accidental, didn't mean to happen, but you're booked. Red card, the guy was on a full breakaway and you took him out because you're preventing a goal.
Yeah, but then I'm sitting
then
here judging
judgment.
I'm not doing that.
But if there's a like because we saw a pass interference early in the game on Ole Miss where the guy definitely got behind him and he had no, Kirk Herbstreit blasted him. He's like he didn't know where he was.
No, yeah.
And he just completely tackled the guy totally. Because he knew that in college that's a 15-yard penalty. But if you did that in the pros, I would say
why in college it's a good strategy to do pass interference. But in the pros, it's not.
Yeah, and so in the pros, if that's a breakaway, kind of like in the NBA or in college, right? It's a playthrough foul, or in the NBA, if he's got a full ride of the dunk and you hack him, and it like
you're doing flagrant or flagrant two, basically.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that we trust the NFL refs to make a judgment call.
Well, we don't even know what a catch is in 2026.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there's too much muck in the NFL when it comes to officiating. Back to your catch thing,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And like, why do we have to, after every play, have to slow it down? I don't know. Oh my God! And it's a clear, like, just move on. Like,
because this replay is brought to you by
exactly,
Geico.
Exactly. Right? I mean, we dramatize everything. Like, now the kid yesterday, the Tony play with the one-handed catch. I mean, what a sick catch!
Gosh.
His foot was clearly out. We didn't need 10 minutes to
nope.
you know to review
he can't
that.
He can't be related to
no.
Kadarius,
this guy catches,
caught everything.
Yeah, this guy's good. Yeah,
he's
really
18.
Good. Yeah. Oh, he's
Miami's
like Ryan
young,
Williams
dude.
From Alabama last year, being way too young to be
wow.
playing. Yeah.
Yeah. Carson Beck is basically like their father. 23
yeah,
years old.
He is. I mean,
24, 23.
It's nuts that he's been in college 7 years.
Seven.
Right. And I saw an interesting tweet this morning from Mark Mangino. Shockingly enough, we were talking about Mark yesterday. Yeah. Maybe we'll get him on the show, right? Come on, Mark.
Chris Fowler. Sorry, not Jeremy Fowler.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, whatever. And so he tweeted out, he goes, 3 years in a row now since, the college football playoffs have been going on that the SEC does not have a team in the national championship game. He goes, now that everybody's paying players.
That's actually good.
Yeah.
Let's give me that one. Give me
but
that one, Mark.
I will, as I did that minor rant, I will say this. That play didn't affect the way I viewed that game.
That game was, the last play
yeah,
of the
that
game.
Game was awesome.
No, the game was great, man. It was great fun. It, the team that nobody wanted is there.
Yeah, and you kind of felt like true. Once like Ole Miss gave up that rushing touchdown to Carson Beck, you're like, damn it.
And then we still had drama at the end.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah, they were at the 35-yard line in two plays. That was awesome.
And with like 13 seconds on the clock, it was boom, boom, they're right there.
Yeah,
like, oh, my God.
We do this in 5 years and go back, and we think about, we're like, where did that guy go to college? Oh, he was on Ole Miss's team. That's right. He was one of those receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, where the – I mean, again, great game, fun game, teed it up nicely for what tonight is, which is Oregon versus Indiana. Indiana 3.5, right? That's the,
yep, three
that's
and
the
half.
Line. So Cignetti, one more win away. And he goes and meets Cristobal.
Could you imagine that? Miami, Indiana for the national championship
wow.
in football. It's really cool. It really is.
Really
and
cool.
Miami's playing at home, which is even cooler. You know, they get that opportunity because that's where the championship game is. And, you know, that's where they get to play. And the team that nobody wanted is there. And really, last night watching Miami win, and I don't know if people were rooting for Miami, but it's really reminding me now of the Cinderella run in the NCAA tournaments that we all talk about. Because this was a team that wasn't supposed to be there, like a George Madison or Mason or whatever team. Beating Kansas early, you know, not supposed to be there. And then you look up and at the end, they're like, oh my God, they're there in the Final Four, like a George Mason, a VCU type of team. Well, I know it's different, but
I love that analogy. But I think it's instead of being George Mason, it's one of those, you know, SEC teams that had like a 19-11
yeah, like
record.
That Syracuse team that
where
one
you're
year,
like,
you
you're
know?
Like, oh, they got it, they got in because they're Syracuse.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they get in, you're like, okay, so maybe the committee knew something that they have good talent and they are a good team. They just had a really bad loss. But at that point, it's like, you know, six and one hand, half a dozen in the other, where Miami got in. Miami's defense, best defense in the nation.
Oh, they're
the nation.
Sick on defense, yeah.
They're
and
great.
Maybe the committee got it right. Miami should have probably been in if they're in the national championship.
Yeah, they
beat Ohio State.
Yep.
They beat Georgia.
Yeah.
They beat A&M and they beat Ole Miss.
Yeah. I mean, they've beaten two SEC schools as well and whatnot. And look, the committee made the right decision. All those people out there complaining and bitching about Notre Dame not being in, shut it, because now Miami's in the national championship game. And you know, it was really like they validated it. I mean, yeah, shut up. I mean, they're in the national championship game.
I will not.
Oh, this team didn't belong here. Everybody complaining and moaning and groaning and they're standing there in the national championship game. But for me,
I don't think that's relevant. But continue.
No, I would say it's like that Syracuse team that had to win like four games in Madison Square Garden, win the Big East tournament. They did that. Then they get into the NCAA tournament. They win their first couple of games there. Like, everybody's like, oh my God, there's Syracuse doing some good things. But look, the committee made the right decision. Miami's playing for the national championship. They're the team that nobody wanted. They've got that chip on their shoulder, which I love too, because everybody's always looking for a chip. You know, for years, Bill Self used to create chips on the shoulder for KU. Tom Brady did that. Patrick Mahomes has done that. The best did that. Miami has a legit chip on their shoulder. It's like nobody thought you belonged.
Nobody believes in us.
Nobody believes in you. Everybody thinks you stink. You're crashing the party. You're not supposed to be here. 3 weeks later, here we go. Miami's playing for a national championship in Miami. And I think it's really cool. And I kind of like the Cinderella run for Miami. It does remind me a little bit of the NCAA tournament. You get caught up in this kind of stuff. And that's why the college football playoff is good. That's why NIL is good. Paying players is good. We could have an Indiana-Miami national championship. That's cool to me.
Do you think that comparison will ring true? Like when the Cinderella, it's Cinderella, and then they get blown out? Do you think that happens?
In the national championship game?
I don't think Miami's going to get blown out. The Cinderellas in basketball make it to the Elite Eight, Final Four, and then it kind of all comes crashing down.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it hasn't yet for Miami. I don't think they're going to get blown out. I don't think Oregon or I think they can beat Indiana, quite frankly. I think with that defense, they can beat anybody.
I think the Cinderella story doesn't really have a huge issue if it falls flat, because once you, like in the NCAA, if you make it to the second weekend, you're already on house money.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's the whole point of like, okay, well, you got this far. If you, whatever happens, happens, right? Like, you've made it this far. Like, Chicago making the playoffs, if they beat Green Bay, they don't have to win the Super Bowl.
No, they're on house money.
That's it. Like, you're good. We didn't expect you to go much further than this, but you beat Green Bay. So, like, we'll give you some. But, like, anyways.
Yeah, the Royals win that wild card game. That's house money. And then they go and do what they did. I mean, it's kind of like that. The Royals, the Royals didn't
play. And it's still going to be disappointing, because you got to that point, you start thinking about the opportunity that arises when you're like, oh, we're playing the Yankees and we actually got to win against you. We can probably. And then you lose. You're like, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Trent McDuffie, only a year older than Carson Beck. Brock Bowers is younger than Carson Beck. Derek Stingley Jr., been in the league for a while, 1 year older than Carson Beck.
I remember his dad was in the league.
You remember Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
He's only a year older than Carson Beck.
How does this guy got 7 years?
Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, same age as Carson Beck, been in the league 3 years. I hate Carson Beck. I don't hate anybody. I don't like Carson Beck.
What is he going to the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
He will 100% get drafted. He made NFL throws last night.
Yeah,
he did. He made a couple. Yeah, he'll be a top three at least, probably four. Top four at least, I should say, round picks.
Can I see him getting drafted 1 through 8? Where another team is like, ooh, they're like, if he wins the national championship and plays good, you know he's going to fly up that draft board. Especially if they beat like Oregon, right? I mean, or even Indiana, the top two quarterbacks in this draft. Yeah. If Miami wins, everybody's going to be on Carson Beck.
Yeah, look what happened with J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you, this is the way the league works, man. I was thinking about it again last night with the names we know. And Carrington had a tweet of like, if Nathan Shielhouse didn't grow up in Kansas City, would you want him? And it's 100% true. You know the names of these people. And you start rooting for them and all this kind of stuff and whatnot. But, I mean, watching Carson Beck, man, if he wins this national championship and beats either Indiana or Oregon, which he will, he's going to beat a quarterback that they believe is a top two pick in the draft. And you know he will shoot up that draft board immediately, because that's what we do. Oh, my God, look what Carson Beck did. Mm-hmm. Throw out the 6 previous years or however you've rated these players up until this point. He's got moxie. He knows how to win the big one. Blah, blah, blah. He will fly up those draft boards, which is good for us.
It's great.
Yep. We need more quarterbacks flying up the draft
board. It just sucks he's not going to go in the top 8.
I'd be surprised, but it's a long time until April. We know how much changes.
Oh, God, yes. Some quarterback's going to have small hands, and somebody else is going to have a knee that's not placed right.
Small arms.
Yeah.
He's playing for national title. And like, look at all those defensive players that'll play for national title. Main stage.
Yeah, and Michael Irvin will be there.
I'm done with them, dude.
Has anybody overstayed their welcome more than Michael Irvin, maybe? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Keep thinking about it. We'll bring it up on the other side of the break. Plus, we'll talk about what Andy Reid had to say about being close, and we'll give you a hypothetical as well here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
This is Fesco and Dunn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Steve, on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.